prepared is one that I'm still working over. I've got the series that I'm trying to finish up and then see how it comes out. The particular thing that I wanted to bring forward is from the last time that I spoke, and you don't remember it, and that's fine, unless you were looking at the reading the or listening to the DVD, you'd go, "North, don't ask me what you spoke on because we don't remember." I understand that. That's okay. I'm not worried about that at all. But one of the things that we did speak about is comes out of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 in particular. And as you look at that, one of the things I brought up, and we're going to swing through some things pretty quickly tonight before we get into the rest of it. But 2 Corinthians 4, 7, as you read this, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, also carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." I chose that because that's part of the direction we're headed. How do we live the rest of our Christian life? When I was in my 20s, I thought I would never see the 60s. Well, probably never even thought I'd see the 40s. But got there, kind of surprised. Woke up one morning and somebody said, "Happy birthday, you old man." And I just kind of went, "Oh, 40, ooh, that's kind of old." And the same thing at 50 and the same thing at 60. And Lord willing, I'll wake up 70th birthday and Mary Ann can say, "Hi there, old man." And here I will be. But as we look at this, the question that came up was, what are we supposed to be doing in the last half of our lives? Or the last 80% of our lives? What are you supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? And as I'm reading the book and trying to ferret out what they're really trying to get at, it struck me that we have the gospel within us. And the idea is, how do we keep that gospel going? Now, you look around you, I don't know how many of you have been to a lot of different churches. We've been to many as we travel around and visit with our children and stuff. And we notice, of course, that there are a lot of them where there are primarily people over 60. Now, obviously, if you see a congregation that's got mostly that, you may be thinking that they've got a problem. And they may have. They may be working toward the demise of that congregation. On the other hand, if you see with the young people and the young adults that we've got, you know that there's a congregation there that's working, that has the energy, that has the creativity, the lot of things that we had when we were younger, that is still here, and it's still available, and can still be used. But the main thing is that we are, in fact, the light of the world, and we have to let that shine, no matter what age we are. We have to let that shine, because Jesus said that that is going to be what our job is. Now, when you stop and think of that, then I think you'll probably realize that we are to, of course, fulfill all righteousness, yes, but we are to go along throughout our day, and every opportunity we get, we're supposed to be able to do what? To tell somebody about Christ. We're supposed to have that capability. And I know, guys, I know, it's difficult to sit down and pick a study and actually study a subject through the scriptures long enough and hard enough and then practice it enough that you can actually sit down and talk with somebody. So I understand that. My question to you would be this, and you asked it this morning very nicely, I thought, and part of it was going to be, what's our answer going to be? What's our answer going to be when the final presentation, when our final sermon has to be spoken? What is going to be our answer? Did we do it? Did we not do it? In the young marriage class this morning, one of the things that was brought up or questioned was if we had to put a grade. You know, you go to the doctor's office. Don't you just love the little chart they give you? The one with the unhappy face, and eventually over to the real happy face, or it's the other way around. The 1 through 10, you know, circle the one that you feel right now as far as your pain is concerned. I don't like those. I really don't. Because, first off, I don't want to know that I'm feeling bad. And yet, why am I there? I'm there because I don't feel good. The question asked this morning was, if that was an indicator of our prayer life, where would you put yourself on that scale? From 1 to 10. If 10 was like Christ, and 1 is somebody that, you know, just basically just woke up in life, where would you put yourself? So the question still remains, where are we now, and what's ahead of us? The future does have something ahead of us. We know that when Jesus said in the end of Matthew, when he told everybody to go into all the world, preaching and teaching, making disciples, baptizing, then teaching people, the one thing that I caught out of that when I was younger was going into all the world, meaning no matter where you go, spread the gospel. I've gotten to the point now that I believe that part of what Jesus was trying to tell them was, you are going to go into all the world. You're going to go out there every day. Paul, you're going to be making tents sometimes. Have any of you guys ever put together a tent or tried to tie one up after it's all been ripped apart? I have. And all I had was a knife and some weeds. It wasn't very good, and it wasn't very easy. But there was something I could do, so I tried it. But there are other things that God wants you and me to do that perhaps you and I haven't even thought about yet. And the one thing that I wanted to go ahead and bring up in this third set of lessons is basically out of John. And the reason I go to John is because I like the fact that John just says, hey, I'm not telling you anything that Jesus said. I'm not telling you anything that my Father hasn't told me to tell you. So when you go to places, when you meet people, and how many of you, again, I'm just going to ask, and I'm not trying to show off or be weird, but just to let you know, I carry a few of these. There's only 4 or 5, and these are the little business cards off the little table back there. If I'm going to ask somebody to get here, this is a lot easier telling them how to get here, okay? And I'm not saying, hey, look at Northeast, great. What I'm saying is I've found a tool that we all have that will help somebody get here if we take the time to go ahead and talk to them. Jesus said, one who has my commands and keeps them, that person is the one who loves me. One who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will reveal myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to me, to him, and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And that's out of John. And that's Jesus letting us know that, and I have a hard time with that. I would much rather say, Jesus, I love you. I'm just a little busy right now. Rather than to say, Jesus, yes, I love you, but I'm not going to do what you told me to do. Those two things are quite different to me. And I would sure hate to have Jesus at the end when I have to give my final presentation, when I have to sit down and figure out where I am on a prayer chart. When I have to do that kind of thing, I know what love is. I know that the biblical love is the agape. We all know about that. That's the one that God used, Jesus used, the disciples used to say that's how we're supposed to act toward God and toward each other. That's the decision we've got to make. But I don't want to have anybody say, and I don't want to hear for my final presentation, a grade of, you didn't obey me, so that meant you hate me. Hate's pretty strong. We see that all over the world. And we see the wars and the conflicts that come from it. We see it perhaps even within our own communities here. And I hate to say it, occasionally maybe we even see it amongst ourselves, as husbands and wives or as brothers and sisters. There may be things that we'll do that aren't in each other's best interests. We may get angry when we don't need to be. And usually, as I've found, Mark's mentioned it too, that seems to be the case more often than not, that there's no reason to get angry, no reason to get upset. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that we are God's, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now that tells me that no matter how old we are, there are things we can still do. I get a kick out of our youngsters as they're coming up, because moms and dads are watching them and they're walking back and forth along the, I can't call it a pew anymore, can I? Anyway, along the in the rows. And it's so cute because I remember when our kids used to do it, and I remember when, well, they didn't do it much. But when they did it, it was cute. But when the grandkids did it, that's when it was cute. So as when your children are doing it, it's cute. And when my grandchildren are doing it, it's cute. But those little children, God already has a plan for them to be doing something. And our ideas, our plans might not be what God quite has in mind. But we have to keep trying no matter how old we get. And we're supposed to be getting along in age, and I assume we will. Now, one of the things that I mentioned last time was that we need to be passing along the gospel. And by passing along the gospel, I mean that we live and speak the good news. That's that business card that I've mentioned. That's where you can just say, hey, hi, you know, here we are, and would you like to come worship with us? We meet up in such and such a place. Now, that isn't passing the gospel right then, but it's aiming that direction. And occasionally you may get someone who will say, well, you know, I work all day on this particular job, on that particular Sundays, but I can maybe get up there on a Wednesday, or maybe I can do a Bible study with you. If you ask them, maybe they'll say that. Had a fellow the other day was talking not very well. His language was not very good. I mean, can you imagine a waiter and not doing so well? And finally, I pulled my card out, and I said, I'm really not trying to slap you in the face and say that you need to straighten up your language, but we'd love to have you come up and worship with us, because a lot of us have come the same way you're coming. A lot of us have had trouble with our language, and we've learned about Christ, and we've changed it. As we go along, those are some of the things that we do learn. And Paul addresses it over and over again, at least three different places. He lists all those bad things that people did and says, so were some of you. You had the same problems. The next thing we need to understand is the gospel is a treasure. We need to treat it like a treasure. Jesus spoke of it as a pearl of great price at one point. But a treasure, where do we put our treasures? Where is our treasure? I hate to say it, but sometimes my treasure's in my grandchildren. I mean, really, seriously. I mean, that's, what else is there? Okay, there's your children. All right. So there's your children and my grandchildren. But that's a treasure. And there's a treasure there that, I hate to say it, I probably didn't understand it when I was a dad. I mean, a younger dad. But as a grandparent and as an educator, as somebody who can sit back and watch a country change and then remember back just within the last 20 years having people from within the country's government say, yes, we're having difficulty with ethics. We're having difficulty with people who don't know how to behave. We're having to come up with classes at an Air Force Academy to try to teach people how to behave. And I find myself at that point saying, whoops, something's gone sideways. And then I find that we still continue to see things go sideways. So this treasure is something, though, that we're not supposed to just hang on to. It's not like Alibaba and the 40 thieves. It's not like your cars. What do we do with our cars? Do we really trash them? No. If you've grown up and your parents have taught you anything, it's don't trash where you live. Don't trash your stuff. In the military, don't trash your equipment. ATMs, be careful how you load them onto trucks and back and forth. There are all kind of things that we have to be careful with. Forklifts, you don't trash the forklifts and you don't ram things into each other. The gospel is a treasure. It's a treasure. How many ladies out here have diamonds on their wedding ring finger? Okay, and how many of you have diamonds somewhere else? Let me ask you that. Is that a treasure? Does that mean something to you? And of course it does. Of course it does. But the treasures we're supposed to be laying up are the ones in heaven. The other thing, besides understanding that it's a treasure, the gospel is a treasure, is the idea that you need to preach the gospel. Now, you may say that you're not a preacher. Well, that's fine. But you've got to be able, as the scriptures teach us, we must be able to give an account for the hope that lies within us. That is going to include some preaching. And I tell you what, folks, as you grow up, can you think back to your grandparents? Maybe some rules that you learned? Maybe some how to live a Christian life? Rules that you learned? Maybe those were things, it isn't one that they just said some Sunday afternoon, this is how you behave. It was a lifetime spent talking to you. As parents, we spend a lifetime, the first 18 years or so of our children, talking to them, and you'd be surprised at the number of things they actually hear. I mean, seriously, think back on your life, and there are a lot of things that you actually understood now and understand now from what your parents. So tonight I want to add a couple more things to it. Before we start that, Proverbs 12, chapter 1. One of the things I like about that one is it says, whoever loves correction loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof, and I like this version, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. He who hates reproof is stupid. We're not going to find that in the King James. But nevertheless, we're not being very brilliant if we don't take correction. And there are times we make mistakes. There are times we make mistakes and go, how did I do that? And then you have to apologize to folks. And then you also have to start over and remember that that mistake is behind you. And you're sorry you made it. But you continue on. And you accept that reproof rather than throw it away and say, don't tell me about it. Okay, a fourth thing that I'd like to throw you to you is sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. You are the vine. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. Now, I just found the type of grapes at the grocery store that I like. I didn't even know anybody grew them. I thought the only way you could get them is go to Welch's and get their jelly. But there are some actual good grapes out there that I like. All right? But vines and branches, have you ever been to a winery? And I'm not talking to drink, I'm just talking about, have you ever been to walk through where they raise grapes, where they raise all of that stuff? There is a complete science to this stuff, to do it right. And Jesus says that he's the vine and we're the branches. He also tells us in other places that the branches are going to be cut off if they're non-productive and thrown in the fire. Now, we know that, but as we get older, do we continue to believe it and understand it enough to continue working toward it? I hope we do. I hope we do. In John 15:8 says, "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." If we are his disciples, then naturally, going into all the world, we will disciple others. But that's part of what we have to do for the rest of our lives. The fifth one, explore the gospel and revel in it. I worked a hard time coming up with using the word stupid, but I worked a harder time coming up with the word reveling, because we generally connote reveling as bad. But to revel in something means that you get into it, and I dare say that you have fun with it. That you have fun with it. And so my concern is that we get the gospel. We've got it. It's right here. Get into it. Learn enough about it that you all of a sudden start having fun and looking forward to that night that you, or the time that you read it through the day. You look forward to the time that you pray and say, "Lord, help me understand this verse. I'm not understanding it." Or you get to my age and say, "Thank you for letting me understand it that way and this way and that way and this way. And I think I've got it. But I understand it a little better today than I did 20, 30 years ago. And I can thank him for that." But reveling in it, maybe I could put it this way. Get your hands dirty. Now, we know the word isn't dirty, but get your hands dirty. Get some dirt on it. When you go out and plant a garden, what do? You dig. And what kind of fruit do you get out of there? Flowers. Maybe you have a fruit tree. You have to dig around it once in a while, or throw some fertilizer on it. Or you might have to get the Job's stakes. I don't know. I've used them before. I don't know if they work. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, J-O-B-E. They got stakes of fertilizer, and you pound them in the ground. The guy said, you know, pick the width of the tree and pound in about six of them around the tree, and it'll fertilize it, and life will be really good. Well, my idea is get dirty, spend the time. There have been times in the past, long past, that I've taken a Bible and I've actually ended up getting ink on my fingers. Now, it was an inexpensive Bible, but nevertheless, I got ink on it. How about your newspapers? Do we still get ink on your fingers with newspapers? I don't know. I don't read them that much. I get it everywhere else. But the idea being, go ahead and get dirty. Don't be afraid to do that. Dig and have a little bit of time. How many different versions are there? Do you know? You know? Do you care? Does it matter? Not really. Do you care, though, where those versions came from? Do you know what group of people got together to put them together and take and translate and build a version? If you don't know some of that stuff, then sometimes the stuff that you read and the way it's written and presented can be different. It can be selling an agenda. And you need to know that as you read. So sometimes when you come up with a question, you go, "That doesn't seem to make sense with everything that I was taught before." It could be that you're looking at a different version. So you need to know a little bit of something about some versions. All this stuff was translated from the Greek, the Aramaic, the Armenian, and the Hebrew. So as you look at all of this and how it comes, I like reading the, going through and trying to understand and read the Hebrew, because it's all backwards. But I like doing that just to see if I can, what I can pick up. You may say I'm a little bit crazy because I like doing that, and that's okay. But I like the reading because of what I get out of it. I like the Greek because of what I get out of it. Your elders, as we look at getting elders, never called pastors. Preachers are never called pastors, really, not in the scriptures. But we have several words that lead toward management, that lead toward elderly people. we have several words that are used from which the word elder came and aptly applies. And we have the word poineia, and that's the person who is a shepherd. And that's what Peter told the elders to do, was shepherd the flock. And guess what the word pastor comes from? Shepherd, in Latin. So, you look at that, you think about the versions, you think about where they came from, you think about who all was on the boards, and you can easily understand then how we could end up with a Latin word on a Greek text. Out of a Greek text, excuse me. So explore it. Understand it. Know what's going on. How many of you feel like, well, you know, and I've been asked this, and sometimes really late at night with a person that's on their deathbed, and they say, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. How can I possibly get to heaven with my past? How about how can I possibly teach anyone else when I know what I've done and what I've been? Let me ask you this. How can you not teach when you know what you've done and what you've been? How can you not tell others about Jesus Christ when you know that you've been forgiven? And you're saved. And that should be something really exciting. It should be something that should really kind of wake you up. Another thing, seniors. I do take the senior discount. I just figured that once I turned gray and they all started saying, do you get the senior discount? Nowadays, you know, they don't ask that. They won't give you the senior discount. Most of them won't give you the senior discount unless you ask for it. I'm a senior. Can you give me a discount? They'll do that. And it's kind of funny. But let me get it back into what we do in the Lord's work. Beware of the wisdom of seniors. And I remember, I do, guys, honestly do, remember being back in high school, sitting in classes, and half the time thinking, I don't know where this teacher's going, I don't know what he's trying to say, but I'm here and I'm listening because my dad's an elder, and if I'm not, I'll get in trouble, and so I'm here. Besides that, most of the time Mary Ann was in my class, so naturally I was going to be there. But there are some old folks that I heard preach that I'll tell you what, they shook me all the way down to my toenails. They gave wisdom out of both the pulpit and in the classroom that I didn't get any other way, would not have gotten any other way. Beware of seniors. But let's look at Job chapter 12 for a minute. Just flip over there real quickly, and we'll look at Proverbs. There's a bunch of stuff in Psalms too that's kind of interesting, because it says that we're just like grass. We grow up, we dry up, and we fly away. Now, one text says fly away, another text says you blow away. I like the fly away better. Not because I'm a pilot, but the song, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. I'm looking for that day. I'm hoping it'll get here. But in Job 12, if you run down to verse 12, you'll find with aged men is wisdom, with length of days is understanding. And then if you jump into Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, it says, my son, listen to your father's instructions and don't forsake your mother's teachings, for they will be a garland to grace your head and chains around your neck. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I've never won a race where they actually put a garland on my head. I just have never done that. And back in, don't know how many years, or 19, whatever, there was a time when wearing a gold, I can't even say a gold, it wasn't a gold necklace. Well, I guess it was. Gold chain, believe it or not. I mean, if you can imagine me wearing a gold chain, I don't know. But that was a thing to do. It's dumb. But in an era, in a culture where wealth was displayed very prominently, gold chains everywhere, and a garland. You must be somebody special to be wandering through town with a garland on your head. That was pretty special. And what the writer of Proverbs is telling us, obviously, Solomon's saying that, hey, if you listen, if you pay attention, you will learn things that you've never even thought of learning. And those will be things that will grace you, and those will be things that will put you head and shoulders above your peers. Now, I have to use those kind of phrases when I'm dealing with high school students, and I do, every class I go into, because I let them know that because they're here, because you're trying, you are ahead of your peers. But you got to try. You got to keep working. We as older people, my garland is going to be one of this where it's clear up here and maybe, you know, silver around the side. Yeah, like Roy. So that's the kind of thing that we look at when you read the scriptures. If you don't smile sometimes when you read them, I think we've lost it. Let's go to another one. If you were to look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, all of you can start out basically by saying what? There are seasons. As we get older, we have to know that there are seasons. There are many seasons. There are seasons when we're young, seasons when we're old. Seasons in between, seasons when things go well, seasons when things don't go so well. And in the Old Testament, when I was growing up, I was learning it out of nothing but King James. So I'm comfortable with that kind of English. I don't have a problem with it. But I did understand that there was a lot of it came to pass. And I've decided to look it up again, and I think some around 700 and something times. It came to pass. Well, we all know that means it came to happen, right? But there are some times in life when things that have happened in its season and it wasn't pleasant, I had to learn a little something different. It came to pass, not to stay. And most everything we run across, especially if we worry about things, most of what you worry about never comes to happen anyway, and the things that do happen aren't as bad as they would be. And I think the stats say that there's maybe 1% or 2% of things that we actually worry about that actually mean something. So we need to understand that life has its seasons. You know the song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands"? I remember Mahalia Jackson's version of that. I really liked that. I thought that was really cool. That was a long time ago. But that was even written longer and longer ago. But the idea is, don't worry about the future. As we are getting older, no matter how old you are, the rest of your life, you've got to be serving the Lord. So we've got to do that. And if we remember, especially in the good times, He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. My good time is coming because of what? He's got me in His hands. When the bad times come, what do we say? I don't have anything to worry about because He's got me in His hands. And this is going to pass. And if it doesn't pass, my back, my neck, maybe my knees, those aren't going to pass till I do. But it's okay because He's got me in His hands. That makes life worth living. Now, I was going to go on with a lot of other stuff, but I want to just kind of leave this with you for a minute. Heard the other day of a young Jewish woman who met a Christian, and he talked with her, and eventually she came to know the Lord, as the Bible teaches. Just as I'm asking you tonight, if you haven't become a Christian, then yes, I want you to become a child of Christ in Christ's church, in His body. We got a lot of people that say they're Christians, but that doesn't make them Christian according to the scriptures. So this guy meets this young lady. They eventually become married. She's so happy about being a Christian that she and a bunch of other people decided they were going to go on a trip. Let's just go to New York City and let's start telling people about Jesus Christ. They got up to New York City and they found that usually you're going to get run over by the pedestrians. Now, I haven't ever been there, but it sure looks that way to me in every picture I ever seen. But she got in there and she decided, she saw two girls walking along and she walked up and said, "Hi, are you a Christian?" And the two women looked at her, and they both said, "No, I'm a Jew." And you know what her reply was? "Well, what a coincidence. I'm Jewish, too. And my Savior is Jewish. Do you know about Jesus? Let me tell you about him." And one of the ladies started just crying her eyes out right there on the street, and the other one just looked embarrassed. And after a few hours of talking with the one that was crying, she finally confessed that she had always wanted someone to ask her about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, that was promised throughout the entire Old Testament. And that evening, they found a Church of Christ building, Church of Christ preacher. They had the young lady baptized. Her friend was sitting there watching and just saying, "I don't think I've ever seen her change the way we saw her change tonight." So, all that said, as we go through our life, remember that the older generation, we may not be as much fun as far as football and tag sports. We may not be as much fun at paintball. I still want to go, but I'm still scared to go paintball. Okay? But I'd still like to go out and take a few people on. But the idea is that as I'm older, my body isn't going to let me do a lot of that. But I'm scared a little bit because I am older and I know the limitations of my body. I know that right now the medicine that I took earlier is fading out. I can feel it. I can see it. I know those things are happening. I couldn't anymore go out and try to do something physical in a little bit than to save my life. But in Job chapter 8 through 10, ask the older generation and consider what their ancestors found out. But when I think ancestors, I think of my ancestors from the 1700s. But ask what they found out. "For we who were born yesterday know nothing. Our days on earth are but a shadow." They will teach you, they will tell you, and they will say what's in their hearts. And I guess what I'm trying to say tonight is at my age, I'm still looking toward people who are older than I am to ask them questions. Because I know that wisdom doesn't come from me. Wisdom comes from God. And according to God's word, it comes a lot of times through our older generations. We need to listen. We need to listen hard. For you younger people, take the time. Take the time. It may be boring at times, but take the time. Your grandparents have a lot of wisdom, and other people do too. So tonight, don't be unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians. His will is that we all become Christians. His will is that we become baptized into him, that we then rise to walk in a newness of life, and one where we can actually smile and laugh, and if I say giggle, that's fine. One where you can revel in his words. You can dig deep for the deep meanings. But you can also look at, as I've heard some classes say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I wanted to just say, it means what it says. So, in the book, It says we need to trust Him. We need to not lean on our own understanding, but we need to lean on Him. I love that song. Who led that? Scott? Who is leading singing tonight? Yeah, okay. There was a phrase in the verse that talked about leaning on Jesus. And for some reason in my mind, what I saw, when He says, "Come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking of war, and I was thinking of a long, hard battle in life. And I was thinking of our Lord with His arm around you and you leaning on Him and Him walking you off the battlefield, right on into home, across the finish line, because that finish line is something we all have to cross at some point. So tonight, as we have our closing or our song here in a moment, if there's anyone who is not a Christian but you would like to become one according to the Scriptures, please make your way forward to do so. And if there's anyone here that would like the prayers of the congregation, of course, please keep these who are ill in your prayers. But if you have other things that are going on in your life, you can be as straightforward, or you can talk in generalities as much as you'd like, and ask us to pray for you, and you better believe it, we will. And prayer means a lot. So please rise now and come forward if you're ready to do that as we sing our invitation song.